We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Riv, hour number two here, quarantine shows. Paul Hamilton, I think, is already on the line. Mr. Bone, are you there?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Listen to the happy voice of Paulie Hambone. Paulie,
I got
a bone to pick with you.
Well, before we do that, I got a little trivia for you here. I did an article yesterday, you know, with the MSG showing the last game in the odd. I was curious on, like, who had the most goals in the odd for the Sabres, assists, points. And, of course, Gilbert Perreault dominated that list. And then we got to penalty minutes. And, of course, I mean, we can all guess, Rob Ray. He had 938 minutes in the odd. The number two guy was Mike Foligno at 609. But I took it also to the new arena, and that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Rob Ray is also the penalty leader in the new arena with 798 minutes. Who is number two at 305?
Got to be Barnaby.
He was number four.
Barnaby. Bolden?
He was number five.
I don't want to assume me, but maybe.
You were number three. You missed number two by 2 minutes.
That's Lindy's fault. Because you know damn well I would have gobbled up a quick 3 minute minor.
Paulie, did I play with this guy?
I believe you did, but I'm not positive.
Paddy Coletta?
You've had him on your show before. No, Paddy Coletta's sixth. Nope. You ready?
No.
At 3:00? No, okay.
No.
I'll round out the top 10 for you. Zhitnik is 7, Gostad is 8, McKee is 9, and Max Afinogenoff is 10.
Yeah. That's when he would say to the ref, "Are you kidding me? This is a trip. You kidding me?"
But you're missing a guy, and I know you're going to just say, "Oh, I can't believe I didn't get that."
Oh man, I played with him. Calendar.
I'm not positive you played with him, Craig. I can't remember for sure. I think you may have.
Oh my God! How did we forget this guy? How?
It's Adam Mayer.
Scud Missile.
Yeah, that's it. Adam Mayer.
Yeah.
Did you play with Adam?
Yes, I did. Yep. All 3 years.
I was pretty sure you did. Yeah, Adam Mayer had two more minutes than Andrew Peters did, 305 to 303, but Rob Ray still had 798.
Wow.
Can't believe Mersey did that. You know, I think he probably got that too in a scrum with me. That's probably my fault.
And you know what surprised me, and maybe it shouldn't have, is the most games played in the arena at 363. Jitnik was second at 306, but Jason Pominville has the most games in the arena with 363.
Yeah, you know what? He would have been my first guest just because of his tenure here, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Vanek had the most goals, Pominville the most assists, Vanek the most points. Briere and Drury, they didn't play enough games. Neither one of them had enough games to make the top 10 in any of them. Sam Reinhart is 10th in points, and he's tied for 10th in goals with 54 with Michael Pekka.
Wow. Wow.
So are you going to give him $9.1 million like the somebody suggested on online?
I do not believe he's a $9 million hockey player. But, yeah, he's in line for a significant raise, that's for sure.
Who are we talking about?
Sam Reinhart.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sorry, Paul. Craig just got here.
Yeah, I blank in and out. That's just selective hearing right now with Petey. So did you guys hear the Joe Yeardon just came out and said that he's heard that the Sabres 2018 second round draft pick Matthias Samuelsson will be signing an entry level contract soon, as early as today.
And that wouldn't necessarily mean it would start this year. He could still go back to college and then the contract would start, you know, next year. But it would just be, you know, the fact that, all right, we reward him. We think it's time to get him under contract. It's time not to let him play 4 years and let him go somewhere else. And but just because he signs the contract doesn't necessarily mean that he will play inside the organization next year. He could go back to college.
How close is he to being an NHL-ready defenseman, Paul, do you think?
Well, going back to when I saw him in developmental camp, because remember the college guys aren't in training camp, I thought he was better than the year before. You could see the improvement. You know, he captained Team USA. You know, I think has shown that maturity, kind of similar to Jake McCabe. Remember Jake McCabe captained Team USA?
Sorry to interrupt, Miami, but it's actually official now, Riff. About a minute ago, the Sabres tweeted out. So sorry, continue on, Paul.
Yeah, I think it's similar to Jake McCabe. He was captain of the Team USA team at the World Junior, and actually, that team won the gold medal, and he was a big leader. And the Sabres drafted him, I believe, also in the second round. I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure, going by memory, that that was the same. And so, you know, I think he's a little bit like, you know, what Jake McCabe was when he was at Wisconsin.
Riv, do you think there's a chance, say, we could see him in the NHL? Like, say everything was say things are back on track. Do you realistically think the Sabres would have this guy in the lineup next year?
Well, I think it's a possibility. Number one, he can't go back to college now that he's signed this contract. So he's a pro hockey player. Whether he plays in Rochester or the Sabres remains to be seen. But let me tell you, I like the idea of having a player like him in the lineup. He's more defensively responsible. He's a big man that skates well. We need his type of defenseman in our lineup. We've got a lot of guys that can push the pace, move the puck out of the zone. Rasmus Dahlin, Montour, Joakim Harju. We have those players, but we need, I think, a player like a Matthias Samuelsson, who's just bigger, stronger, a little bit more physical, and a defensively responsible guy.
Yeah, Craig, thank you for correcting me on that. I don't know why I said that, but thank you for for correcting me on that. I don't know. I would think maybe that, judging by what the Sabres like to do, he might start in Rochester, because Borgen might be ready to make the jump from the AHL to the NHL. Bryson is a guy a lot of people have talked about who has done very well in the AHL, a puck-moving type defenseman. So it wouldn't shock me to see him get a year in Rochester.
Yeah. Paul Hamilton joining us here on the line. Phone calls only right now with the quarantine going on, but Instigator's still going. Hammy, you had an opportunity to be on the conference call with Ralph Krueger the other day. What did you take away from that?
Well, he's in Switzerland, and he really hasn't had a lot of contact with the team. He said he never dreamed when they met in Montreal, because the coaches were almost to the arena when the NHL told teams not to have morning skates or morning meetings. So they turned around, went back to the hotel. Jason Botterill got everybody together, met with the team, and that turned out to be the last meeting with the team. They didn't get together in Buffalo. They got back to the airport, and they dispersed. And they didn't meet in Buffalo or anything like that, so it was shocking. He was like, he said, it's like the bottom came out on you, and nobody really knew what was going on, and things were moving so quickly. I mean, they were having a team dinner, and next thing you know, the Utah Jazz player tested positive, and that game got canceled, and everything started moving quickly, and nobody knew where it was going. I think many people realized that we're probably not going to be playing in Montreal the next day, or at least playing with no fans. And, you know, now, because you guys know for sure, he talked about how in the NHL, whether you're a player or coach, you have a routine. It's a routine on the road. It's a routine at home. It's a routine at practice. I mean, it's something you do every day, and you're programmed to get yourself ready for whatever it is that day is going to bring for you, and you know how to get ready. Now all of a sudden you've been told to go home. Hockey's over. It's just been pulled out from under you, and you're told to go home for 2 weeks, now three, and do nothing and stay in your houses, and we have no idea if you're going to keep playing, if you're going to play games, if your season is over. And that's tough for a player who basically has their routine mapped out for them through the season.
Hey, Bone, we were having a conversation the other day. Who is the Sabres' best defenseman this year, in your opinion?
Sabres' best defenseman this year, I think it depends what part of the season we've been talking about. There was a time where Rasmus Ristolainen definitely showed great improvement from the way he had played in past years. Rasmus Dahlin had an extremely tough start, and I thought he drastically cut down on his turnovers, played better in the defensive zone. I thought Colin Miller for the first 10 games was their best defenseman, then he kind of tailed off. So it's been kind of every defenseman, or a lot of the defensemen, I think, have taken turns trying to be the best defenseman at different times during the season. So I think that's a tough one. I don't know if I want to say Ristolainen is the overall guy, or I want to say Dahlin is the overall guy, because they've had bumps in the road. Henry Jokiharju, I'll tell you what, he's been pretty consistent throughout. Right near the end, in the tail end, he started to struggle a little bit. But for the most part this year, Jokiharju might have been their most consistent guy. I mean, game in and game out, you pretty much knew what you were getting from him.
You just don't want to say Risto, do you?
I totally think he just sat on the fence there, Petey.
Hey, Hammy, is it killing you to sit at home and say Ristolainen? Yeah, I asked you that question for a reason, Bone.
I think Jokiharju has been their most consistent, but when Ristolainen was on, which was for probably three quarters of this year, I think he was very good.
Okay, there you go. So Paul Hamilton just said that Ristolainen was the best defenseman all year.
Paul, we're just being media, man. We're putting words in your mouth.
I mean, if I had to pick one, I probably would be him, as I said, because for three quarters of the year,
yeah!
I think he showed very good improvement from what he had played in past years.
What are your thoughts on him moving forward then, Paul? Like, would you still think about trading Ristolainen in this offseason to try and bolster that offense?
Oh, I absolutely would. I mean, if I could get that type of player that I'm looking for, and I don't believe he's going to get you that player straight up. I think Jason Botterill has learned that you know, he was hoping to get maybe a center to play behind Jack Eichel, and Ristolainen for that center, just it wasn't going to happen. And that's what he's been hoping to do for over a year now, to try to do that. But I mean, you still got your number one pick to deal with. I mean, if you want to make a bigger type of trade, a Ristolainen and a pick to maybe acquire that forward that you're looking for, I definitely would be open to it. You know, sometimes when you talk trades, when's the best time to trade somebody? When they're playing well. I mean, because when they're playing well, isn't their value more than if it's like, oh, this guy really hasn't done much and he gives the puck away a lot and uh-oh. And then you're trying to trade him and say, well, you know, he can be good. Well, I think maybe a player has his best value when they are playing better and maybe when they did have their best season.
It's hard to move a guy when he just won the green jacket by a solid 10 strokes.
Well said.
That was a plus-minus joke. Bowen, I don't know if you're there or not.
No, I didn't get it. I had to actually have you explain it to me.
golf terminology. Do you follow Mike Commodore on Twitter? He always does his Masters updates, the green jacket. Because in the locker room, guys used to always joke, worst plus minus would be called the green jacket winner. Because the Masters, the season ends right around the Masters, right? So, like, all the plus minus and everything is – so, it's I don't know. So I remember the first time I heard it. It was the year I won it in Rochester.
Well, if you want to talk plus minus,
Mike Commodore does. Like Athanasiou was leading it this year, and he'll be like, someone had a big weekend, and here they are, you know, trucking down the back nine, you know, like toward the end of the season, and they talking plus minus and keeping an eye on who's got the worst minus in the league. So that's
if you want to talk plus minus on the Sabres, Montour is the best at plus 13. VC at plus 12. At the other end, it's Skinner at minus 22 and Reinhardt at minus 15.
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do with Reinhardt?
Oh, I definitely think they're going to attempt to re-sign him. I mean, there's a slight possibility they would trade him, but why? I mean, what do the Buffalo Sabres need? They need talent. They need scoring. So it wouldn't make any sense to me, even if other than, all right, well, we'd rather have a center that puts points up instead of a winger. Maybe that would be the sense you would make out of it. But it wouldn't make any sense to me to trade a guy who had 50 points in 69 games, you know, probably was going to be in the 60s or so once the season ended. The reason he's a little low now is he's in a terrible slump right now that brought his point total down. But it just wouldn't make a lot of sense to me to trade a guy when that's the type of player you're looking for. Why put that hole in your lineup when you actually need to add to your scoring? So I think definitely they're going to be looking to sign him. And the question is, and he's already proven he's not afraid to hold out. So, you know, who knows if it would even be done by training camp, whenever training camp might be.
So what is too much for Sam Reinhardt?
Oh,
do you think he's going to be on a 5-year deal or an 8-year deal? What's the number that's too much for Sam Reinhardt? What's the number that you can say, well, if you want to sit out, you're going to sit out someplace else because we're not paying you this. We're going to have to look to move you.
I think it's interesting when you talked about the 5- and 8-year deal. I mean, what's his age going to be looking for? Would he rather go 5 and do it again and have even a bigger contract? Or would, you know, I think it would depend on what the Sabres are offering, you know, in an 8-year deal, you know, taking away some unrestricted free agent years that way, three more when you're talking between five and eight. So I think, you know, it would be what kind of dollar figure are we talking here? I definitely probably would not go north of eight. I think you were talking between 7.5 and eight, somewhere in there. And that's just off the top of my head. Quite honestly, I haven't given it a whole lot of thought. So just since we're talking about it, I'm thinking about it now. You know, I would have to go and look at some comparables and that type of thing. But I would think that would be a fairly comfortable contract for both, 7.5 to 8.
Why is he in the sevens? I don't understand that. And again, I feel like I have to always say, I'm not insulting him. I don't want anyone to think that I'm putting him down because I'm taking him out of a $7 million scale and putting him into a $6 million range. People would be all offended by that and saying, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that if he's going to be, I think what we are seeing from Sam is the same as what we've seen over the years. Marty said this on the show a while ago. He has improved in point production, which is what you want to see, but he's the same player year in and year out, right? So it's not like with that point production increase comes a more dominant player. I think you're getting the same player year in and year out. And I mean, I don't know why we're going to pay a 60-point guy, because that's what I think we'll agree that he is, mid-60s, high-60s. I don't know that he sees 70s. I think a lot of that depends on Jack. So I don't see him in the sevens. I don't see him in the fives. I don't see him in the sevens. So I don't know why we can't find common ground in the 6 million range, which I think would be a great cap hit for the Sabres, and I think it'd be a fair deal for Sam.
I think that would be a great contract for the Sabres. I don't think Sam would go for it. I mean, you look at his goal, his points, I don't think we're going to go up this year, but I think, you know, his goals probably would have. I mean, in his career, he scored 23, 25, 22, all in between 79 and 82 games. This year, he's got 22 and 69 games. So, you know, with 13 more games, you figure he would have a career high in goals. I would anticipate that. He might have gotten it up to around 27 or something, because when the puck goes in for him, it usually, you know, he'll start scoring. So I think once one would have gone in, he would have gotten some more and gotten some confidence. But I think that would be a very good – I never thought the Sabres would get Ristolainen for the number they got him for. I thought that was an excellent contract for the Sabres to tie up a Ristolainen at the time. And so it's not like – you know, the Sabres can't get those types of deals. They've done it in the past. If they wanted to keep Skinner, they were going to have to overpay, and they did. And they felt they wanted to keep him, and they did overpay for him. I understand exactly where you're coming. That's where I would like it to fall. I just don't think that's where it will fall if they want to keep him.
Well, I don't know.
Who would you think, like, who is the comparables to a Sam Reinhart? Like, who are guys around the league off the top of your head that you would put in the same structure as Sam?
You always want me to talk off the top of my head. I'm very poor at that. I need time to think about things.
You and me both.
That's why a raw reaction with a wrong answer is way better for entertainment.
Just like I said the stupid thing earlier that Craig had to correct me on. I mean, when I'm talking off the top of my head, sometimes I go goofy.
What was that, team toughness? Oh, wait, you totally diverted from that conversation with trivia, Paul.
I know, it was just I wanted to do the trivia. Actually, the TV trivia was about toughness. It would have been a good segue to get into it, but you never took it.
No, I know. But Riv had a bone to pick with you.
No, I don't have any bone. I agree with Paul. I agree that Boston's not as tough as what everybody thinks they are.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. We'll just give you something to think about, and we'll talk about it the next time. They didn't acquire Nick Ritchie to play on Bergeron's line.
Yes, that's true.
They acquired Nick Ritchie for a reason, because they were getting lambasted by their fans and their media because they didn't show up. It was Chara was the only one that showed up. Chara is one of the toughest guys in the league. They don't want Chara doing that stuff. They wanted other key guys, and other guys weren't responding, and they were getting crucified by their fans, as even though they're good hockey players and a good team. So they went out and got Nick Ritchie, and it wasn't to play on Bergeron's line.
Bone, what's the closest? What's the next closest team you cover the most? Like, I don't mean cover for their region, but I just mean like follow, like that you pay most attention to.
Well, I think it's obviously teams in the division because you see them the most, you know, yeah. And you're thinking, well, you know, where the Sabres are within 3 points of Florida. So, all right, let's watch Florida tonight. Or, you know, they have a chance to pick up some ground on Toronto. Let's watch Toronto tonight. You know, that type of thing. So I think it tends to be the teams in the division. Toronto, of course. I know Boston would be, but Boston pretty much ran away from the Sabres. You know, the Sabres were in first place in October, but once Boston got rolling, they just ran away from everybody. And but it tends to be the teams in the division, yeah.
You've been watching any of the old games?
Yeah, I've watched them both. It was fun to see, and it brought you back because this last 9 years have been a little bit depressing for Sabre fans and everything. And then to see a game like that where it's 0-0, the biggest comments I got on Twitter were all the penalties and the dirty play and the hacking that went on, both in that game and the 75-6 against the Flyers, where basically if you didn't put a guy on a stretcher, you didn't wind up in the penalty box. And a lot of fans commented on that, you know, how different hockey was back then, and you could basically get away with anything you wanted to get away with. And, that the Jersey game really, really showed that. But the thing that really struck me is when Hannon scored the goal, it's 2 a.m. Look at those fans. That's the feeling that you forget about because it's been so long, where everybody's invested and they would show the fans in each overtime and they're nervous and they're fidgety and it's getting later and it's getting later. And, you know, the Sabres have to win. Otherwise the season's over. They can't lose this game. And, you know, both teams are having chances to score and, you know, you just get uptight. And then the joy that the fans had, they didn't leave. They showed the fans that the teams had left and, you know, it's 2 a.m. and they're still celebrating and dancing in the aisles. And, you know, that's what we need to get back to as far as Sabres hockey is.
Oh, I loved hearing the crowd. It was absolutely crazy. Can you believe Craig hasn't watched either of these games?
Is he in bed already?
It's unbelievable. No. You have one job.
What, my job is to watch Sabres hockey? Is that what my job is, Petey? Okay. I guess yeah. That would fit the job. I jump in. Let me tell you something. I jump into it on Wednesday, which is what's Wednesday? What's Wednesday, Petey? That's today. Yeah. There you go. 2006. Boom shakalaka, little Danny Briere and who's that other guy, Petey?
I don't know. Every one of those guys responsible for at least one or two minuses that year for you, though.
Hey, bud, look at my plus minus. It was
pretty in the first goal against Hartford last night. Did you like Rob Ray's assist?
How'd he get it?
He was along the wall, put it back to the point. The shot by Zhitnik was tipped in by Derek Plant. It was actually Zhitnik was shooting for Plant. You could see him, and Plant just tipped it between the pads. But it was good work along the wall to get it back to the point.
Hey, Riff.
Yeah.
06-07, before you got dealt to San Jose, you were -7. I think that was the two games against the Sabres.
Oh, is that it? Let me ask you something. What did I end up for the season, Petey?
Yeah, but we didn't play you in San Jose.
What did I end up for the?
I'm losing you here. Connection's getting a little scribbly. Riv, gotta run, for the next segment. Riv, gotta go. Can't hear you, Paulie. Thanks for your time today.
Anytime, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.